Okay. We're holding about 5 lions from the end of the Perek on Chof on the Bays. We had a large piece of Agadta yesterday that talked about proper behavior during Tashmish Shamita and the effects that it has on the parents and on the children, etc. The last thing we learned is that it's important to be careful about 9 B'nai Tesha Midas. You want to be careful to avoid having children that are going to be affected by one of the 9 Midas, where one or the other member of the couple is not in the proper frame of mind for Bia. Where one of them hates the other one, where he forces her into it, where he's not sure which of his wives he's with, etc. We have the whole list over there. So we set off yesterday briefly. I mean, we were in a rush here to finish off yesterday, but it depends on both. And in fact, there's an argument to be made that it depends more on her than on him. That's one of the answers we mentioned yesterday. How is it that Reuben and David are not considered B'nai Tmura, even though Yaakov didn't know he's with Leah and thought that he's with Rachel, and Yishai didn't know that he's with his wife and thought that he's with his maidservant, because their wives knew who they're with. So and that's the hicker thing. Okay. Yes. Right, so the Levushim is Nimshach through the parents' intentions during B.A., right. Okay, so the last thing we said, incidentally, this is about these nine Midas. There's a couple of the Rekeach has an interesting verse, but there's a number of places in the Torah where you have 70 of something, for example, where it lists 70 descendants of Yaakov who came down to Mitzrayim, and there's no text in that whole list representing the idea that none of them suffered from the problems, from any of these 9 problems that we're discussing over here. Similarly, for example, Kapitel Chaf, one of the Tefim is Moldav Yancha, has 70 words, and among them there's no test. There's a couple of different things that he mentioned.
Right.
That's what we're saying. In other words, that Reuven is not considered a Ben Tmura for the various reasons we talked about yesterday. So representing the idea that the whole 70 that represents the totality of the Jewish people, there shouldn't be any of these 9 among them. Okay, anyway. So the last one on the list was B'nai Chatsufa, which meant when the woman is chutzpahdik and demands tashmish verbally. So the Gemara asks, Eini, this is where we're holding, the second line of the wide lines. Eini, is that so? V'amr shmo b'nachmini amr rabbi Yonason, kol adam she'ishtesh tevaite, any man who his wife propositions him to have relations, havim le'banim sha'afilu b'derish al Moshe Rabbeinu v'ayu k'mosam, they'll be zoicha to have such children that even in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu there weren't such people. Great people, in other words. Shenemar, what happened in Moshe Rabbeinu's times when he's looking for judges after, and then how he just described in Parshas Devarim how he's looking for sub-judges, it's getting too much for him to judge the whole people. He says, Hogu lochem anashim chachamim unavoynim, give for yourselves men who are wise and understanding. They were chachma and bina. Uchtiv v'akach ha'prashi shivteichem, but then it says, I took the heads of your shvatim, v'lo yksib nevoynim. It doesn't, the pasuk is, v'akach ha'prashi shivteichem anashim chachamim v'yiduim. Leaves out the word Nevoinim. So they had Chachma, but they didn't have Bina. So in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, there weren't to be found, in most of the Shvatim, people who had Bina.
Or
Dea. What? Dea, but that they didn't. They didn't specialize in Bina. On the other hand, Yisachar Chamor Gorem, but when it comes to Yisachar, the Pasuk says, Yisachar, the simple meaning of Yisachar Chamor Gorem is Yisachar is like a strong-boned donkey who can carry heavy loads. But the drasha on it is Gorem Meloshim Boram. It was caused by a donkey. How did it come about that Yisachar was conceived? Through the fact when Yaakov was riding home on his donkey that day, the pasuk says, Leah came out to greet him and said, Eli Tovah, come to my tent. And then he was with her that night, and she conceived Yisachar.
She
paid with the Dudoyim, yeah. Rashi brings over here, actually. No, but one second. The Gemara is assuming that there's not a difference over here, that when she says, Eli Tovah, come to me, that amounts to asking for Tashmish Repair. But wait. There's one explanation, actually, about this Yisachar Chamor Gorem, how exactly. So Yaakov came home, and she came out and greeted him. What does the donkey have to do with it? So Rashi says over here, because the donkey turned towards Leah's tent. So then already Leah heard him outside and came out to greet him. And there's also an explanation.
What kind of donkey is that?
Okay, but there's also an explanation. There's also an explanation that's brought up in the Medrash that actually what happened was when Yaakov came home, as he was nearing home, his donkey brayed, and so Leah heard the sound and came out. So the donkey has a certain part to play in it. And then it says, and it describes in Divrei Yomim, and we know that this was true throughout Jewish history, that from Bnei Yisachar there were people who had understanding of the time. They were the specialists in Kiddush HaChodesh, which is these days Perek Aleph of Rambam. They were always members of the Sanhedrin, so they had Bina. So you see, and Marshall says that actually when Moshe was looking for people for Nevoinim and he couldn't find them, doesn't mean he was able to find from Yisachar, but he couldn't find from the other Shvatim. So you see that, and how did all this come out? Because Leah told Yaakov, Eli Tove, come to my tent. L'chora, that amounts to asking for Tashmish. And you see that from that come great children. So what are you talking about that it's Bnei Chatzofa is a bad thing? The answer is, Hahid Marzi Arzuri. What we're talking about is a good thing, is she doesn't verbally ask for it. What she does is she makes her husband want it. So she says, for example, she says like this, Leah tells him, come to my tent. She doesn't explicitly say, like Potiphar's wife at a later time, Shichva Imi, or something grub like that. She says, you know, come into my tent. Yes, from that will come. But they end up sleeping together, but she's not actually asking for it. It can also include the Ran says that she says nice things to him. It can include that she primps and whatever, all the different possible ways that a woman can attract her husband's attention. But not to actually verbally ask for it. In fact, the Gemara in Erevin says that it's one of the things from the Chetei Tadas that it's proper for a woman to not ask for Tashmish verbally. So the difference is she should be wanting it, and when she does, then from that comes great children. But to actually verbally ask for it, that would be Nechav Tufa. Hadron Alachvei Lemutarim. So now we've been learning, we learned about the various formulas that make a real neder, and we learned in the previous parak about formulas that could mean a neder and could not mean, and therefore it depends what the person explained. When he said cherem, you know, did he mean cherem ekoinim, did he mean cherem egavoya, or did he mean cherem and net, etc. Now we're going to be learning about cases where you have the real form of a neder, you're saying the proper words of a neder, but it's not chal. Mishnah says, "Avon nedarim itiru chachamim." There's four kinds of nedarim that the chachamim were matir, meaning where the Gemara is going to discuss what that means mutter. But the maskana is going to be that it means you don't need heter nedarim for them. You don't need to be matir nedarim.
But they are nedarim.
They are nedarim. You're still not lachapchila. You're not supposed to make such nedarim without the intent to keep them. Or if you had to make them, one of them is going to be nidre onsim. You should try to keep them anyway. But b'di'evet, a person made them, then they're not chal for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Number one, nidre ziruzin. Number one is nedarim in order to be mizariz somebody else to do something to compromise with you, for example, on a price, as we'll talk about. Nidre havai and nedarim and empty nedarim. The Ran brings from a Targum that the word havai means empty. Tosfos brings that it means good moloshim guzma. Like you're making a neder in an exaggerated form. We'll have examples of all four of these as we go through the parak. Number three, v'nidre shgogah, it's a neder that you made v'shogig. And number four, v'nidre onsin, and a neder of onus, which again we'll talk about in a later mishnah in this parak what a neder of onus is. Okay, nidre zeruzin keitzad. What's an example of nidre zeruzin? Hayam moichel chayfet. Suppose somebody is selling an object, v'amar. And he says he's bargaining with the buyer, or the buyer is bargaining with him, whatever. So the seller says, "Konam sheni poches b'chamin asela." A konam, which is a lashon of neder, that I'm not going to go below a seller, which is four dinar. V'halaim, where the buyer says, "Konam sheni moses b'chal a shekel." A konam that I won't add any more than a shekel, which is two dinar. So he wants to not get less than four. He wants to not pay more than two. And what happens? Shneim writes in b'shloisha dinarim. In the end, both what it means is both of them really are willing to do the deal for three dinarim. Both of them are willing to compromise and come up with a price of three dinarim. So therefore, when the seller said a koinam that I'm not going to sell it less than a seller, he didn't really mean it. He didn't really mean that I absolutely will not sell it for less than a seller, and if I do, then the object itself or the purchase price or a loaf of bread or whatever will be also to me, if so. And similarly, the buyer didn't really mean that. They're only using it as nidre zeruzin. They're using it as a neder to encourage the other person, come down in my direction. But not necessarily that they actually meant it. So the Ran discusses, first of all, the Yerushalmi says, so the basic idea, why would neder erusin not be an issue? Why is it not a real neder? Because one important thing you need by a neder is that piv libe shavim. You have to have that what you're saying and what you're thinking are identical. You're saying the formula of a neder and you're actually meaning it. Here, you're saying the formula of a neder, but you're not really meaning it. It's a known thing. When a seller and a buyer make nedarim like this, they're not making it to say, I absolutely won't sell it for less than a sell. I absolutely won't buy it for more than a shekel. He's just trying to convince the other person to come to come closer to his price, to bargain it. Okay, so then so you're still not chila supposed to do it. It's still not chila a good thing to do, but it's not really considered a neder. So okay, the Ran talks about a couple of details on that. First of all, the Yerushalmi says that if the ma'amidim, that if either one of them really is, he's not just saying it as a bargaining chip. If he's not just using it as a bargaining chip, if his taka means I'm decided on this, I will absolutely not sell it for less than a seller, then yes, it would be a valid neder. So then Piv and Libay are the same.
Okay, does that happen? They come later to ask on the neder, or people try to enforce it? What
no, let's say, for example, that he says, I absolutely won't sell it for less than a seller. Let's say, for example, the guy bargains him down and says, you know what, fine, I'm willing to give you three. And he says, no, I won't take three. I demand four, and I'm not going to take less than four. Then that would mean that he's mamid al dal-drada, that he's not willing to take less than four. He used the word kaina. He used the word kainam to begin with, and the fact that he's now mamid al-daita, that he's not willing to go down from four to three, indicates that he really meant it. As he really meant it, as a genuine neder.
They agree on three.
Who wants to enforce it?
I mean, if he made a
neder. Okay, if he himself comes to Beis Din, I don't know what that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they'd probably just tell him exactly like we're saying, that it's nidre zirut. And okay, we'll talk about it on Beis. The Ran also talks about the question, what about then? Given, for example, that the seller said, I'm not going to sell for less than four. And the buyer says I'm not going to buy for more than two. What, so fine. The Mishnah is saying if they compromise on three, that's fine. But the idea would be though that the seller is in fact not allowed to go down to two dinarim, and the buyer is not allowed to agree fine, I'll pay you four. Because the fact is, the neder, even if it's a nidre zerud, then that means something. It meant that we want to meet in the middle, but it can't mean that I'm going to completely set aside what I said, which after all I did say a konam on, and be willing to sell or buy at the price that you said. So according to the Ran, that wouldn't work. There are other Rishonim who say even then that wouldn't work. According to the Ran, it wouldn't work. Because it would still be considered a neder for that extent. If for example, the seller says I won't sell for less than four, and the buyer having already made a konam, the customer having already made a konam that I won't pay more than two, now says, you know what, fine, I'll pay you four, maybe he's not allowed to do that. He did after all make a konam on two. Granted, maybe a konam doesn't prevent him from going up to three, because that to that extent neder is erusin, but maybe he's not allowed to go all the way up to four. That's what the Ran holds. The other Rishonim hold differently. The other Rishonim hold, if we're saying it's Nidre Zeruzim, then it means it's even if he agrees, even if he gives up his own position and goes completely over to the other one. I don't know. I didn't look in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, we're going to see in the Gemara actually that there's a whole suffix about the details of this din anyway. So wait. Okay. So the Mishnah said, "Abarn and Dorim Yitzidu Chachamim." Follow that there are four nedarim that the chachamim were matir. Amalei Abba b'Amalei Rav Ami. Amalei Lan Meshmedei Rav Yehuda Nasiya. Now you told us in the name of Rav Yehuda Nasiya, the grandson of Rav Yehuda Anasi, Man Tana Abarn and Dorim Rav Yehuda Yidam and Rishum Rav Taifin. That who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Which Tana's opinion does our Mishnah represent? That is Rabbi Yehuda, Yidam and Mishum Rav Taifer. That would be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav Taifer, which we learned in the previous Perek. La'olam ein echad man nazir, that we have the case where, again, you have two people, or you have a group of people, actually. The detailed case in the Mishnah, they are nazir, is you have a group of people walking down the street, and they see somebody coming towards them, and one of them says that's Reuven, the other one says that's Shimon, the other one says it's neither Reuven nor Shimon, the other one says I'll be a Nazir if any of you are Nazir, another one says I'll be a Nazir if none of you are Nazirim, but Shammai actually holds all of them are Nazirim. Basil holds only the one things actually came out the way he said is a nazir. And then Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Tarfon that none of them are nazirim, because when nitin nazirus officially nitin nazirus elo afla, because nazirus is meant to be a clear statement, not where there's any tnoim or whatever involved. So Rabbi Abba is telling Rabbi Ami, is that really so? You're telling us that this Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, which would mean if it would only according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Taifa, and that would mean it's not the halacha, because the halacha is not like that. Rabba Amar, I feel the tamer Rabbanan. So Rabba says, no, you could even say that our Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanan, because Mikatani Shneim Rotsu, it doesn't say that our Mishnah. The assumption, when we said that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, what we're thinking is, it's not a question of whether it's Nidri Zeruzin or not. It's just because when he said, a konim that I won't sell it for less than a seller, a konim that I won't buy it for more than a shekel, it's uncertain at the time what's going to actually happen. It's uncertain. In the end, we see they compromise on three. So therefore, you could argue the same way as a Nazirus like that, an uncertain Nazirus is not a Nazirus. So an uncertain Nedir is not a Nedir. So what Rava is saying is, no, that's not the issue. It has nothing to do with the uncertainty or not. Because mi katani shnei and rotsu, because the Mishnah does not use the expression that both of them wanted, meaning that to begin with, both of them had to begin with decided that they're going to sell and buy respectively for three, which would be, if the Mishnah had used the word rotsu, then it would mean that yes, they mentally figured, you know what, I'm willing to sell it for three, I'm willing to buy it for three, but when I make the neder that I'm not willing to sell for less than four, I'm not willing to buy for more than two, then it's uncertain in their mind. Therefore, Reb Tarfon would say it's not a nazirus and it's not a neder. No, we could argue that's not the issue. Shnei roitzin katani, because what is the Mishnah saying? That now, at the end of the bargaining, the other way around, I'm sorry. Shneim rotsu would mean that to begin with, each one of them was thinking, I really am not willing to sell for less than four. I really am not willing to buy for more than two. Rotsu would mean that in the end they agreed to. In the end they agreed to three. But the Mishnah's Shneim Roitzin B'Shloisha Dinrim means actually that both of them to begin with are thinking in their mind, you know what, I'm willing to sell for three, I'm willing to buy for three. Which means, therefore, when they make the neder, it's not a matter of a lack of hafla, it's a matter of not pivotally by shoving. That their mouth and their heart are not in sync. You're saying Rotsu would mean that at the end they change their mind. Rotsin implies that to begin with, when they started the bargaining, the seller was thinking, you know what, even though I'm saying four, really I'm willing to go down to three. And similarly with the buyer, even though I'm saying two, I'm willing to go up to three. Shneim Rotsin, that's what it means, in other words. So it's not a matter of a lack of hasla, which would be a type of opinion. Everybody would agree in this case, even the Rabbanan, that it's not a neder because it's not pivotally b'shoven. Their hearts and their mouths are not in sync. That's the point. That's what we're saying. It's not that we should say it's not a neder according to the Tyson, but it would be a neder according to everybody else. No, according to everybody else, it wouldn't be a neder either. The Ran goes on to explain that in that case our Mishnah has a bit of a chiddush in it, because in the case over there where you have a whole bunch of people walking down the street and seeing somebody in the distance, so what happens again? You have many different opinions over there. You have one person saying that's Reuven, another one saying no, that's not Reuven. Fine, I'll be a nazir if that's Reuven. I'll be a nazir if that's not Reuven. I'll be a nazir if either one of you is a nazir. I'll be a nazir if neither one of you is a nazir. And you have six people walking down the street. So what happens? In the end, obviously, not all six statements can be true. Necessarily, some of those statements can be false. So you might... You must be false, yeah. So you could argue, maybe in that case, is when Reb Tarfon would say that since some of them are false, since some of them are not going to be nazirim, so none of them are going to be nazirim. But in our case over here... You could have both of their nedarim could be valid. When he says I won't sell for less than four, I won't buy for less than two, both of them could come true. They could end up not the deal could end up falling through at all. So you would think maybe if they end up compromising on three, maybe you would say even according to Reb Taufen, you would argue that could be a valid neder. No, we're saying not only according to Reb Taufen, but even according to Chachamim, it's not a valid neder. According to Reb Taufen, according to everybody, because it's not pivotally the Shabbat. Forget about the matter of Haflah. It's not a clear statement. It's rather the chiddush of the Mishnah is that when it's not pivotally the Shabbat, even though theoretically both in the Dorim could have been valid. Well, that's what we're saying. Theoretically, both of them could have been valid, but nevertheless, we're saying because it's not people live in Shabbat, and that's the Chiddush of the mission.
Omele Ravina Ravashi. If they're continuing negotiating with each other, each one is bringing the other one to
violate. That's the point. We're saying since it's not a neder, then it's not. If it was a neder, then they would have a problem with that. Since it's not a neder, then you're fine. Omele Ravina Ravashi. What happens? What if instead of the case we have in the Mishnah where one of them says not less than four, the other one says not more than two? What about if the seller says I won't go below four plus one pruta, let's say, and the buyer says I won't go above two minus one pruta? So then what would be the din? Now, there's two ways of explaining what the question is. The Ram says, the first way of explaining the question is, since you see that both of them are being particular down to the pruta, mainly when they're using round figures like four dinarim or two dinarim, you could say they're using it as a bargaining chip. But when he's actually saying four dinarim plus a pruta, or two dinarim minus a pruta, maybe they're being precise, and therefore it's not nidre zeruzin anymore, maybe it is a real honest-to-goodness neder. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, the Ram says the problem with that is what about? I mean, it seems the question would just as well be then if he says I won't go below four minus a pruta and the other one says I won't go above two plus a pruta, you'd have the same issue. They're going down to the pruta level, but that doesn't seem to be what the Gemara is asking. Let's put it in terms of dollars instead, so it's easier for us to imagine. Our Mishnah had said that if one of them says I won't sell it for less than $4 and the other one says I won't buy it for more than $2 and they compromise on three, then fine. The Gemara is asking, what if he says I won't go below $401 and the other one says I won't go above $199? So one way of explaining it is because they're going down to the cent level, that means they're trying to be precise about it. The Ram says the problem with that is you could say just as well, what if he said I won't go below $399 and he says I won't go above $201? They're also going down to the cent level, but that's not what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara seems to be asking specifically 401 versus 199. So therefore, the Ram says that.
What's the question? Is it 401 or 399?
But the Gemara could have just as well said Amalah instead of Tfei Misela and Batsu Mishetel. The Gemara could have used the expression Amalah Sela involving Prutus, and the other one said Shekel involving Prutus. Which would imply it would be equally well whether we go slightly above four or slightly below four or slightly above two or slightly below two. The fact that the Gemara only mentioned slightly above four and slightly below two would seem to imply that it's only in that case the Gemara has the question. And therefore, the Ram prefers the explanation that the problem is when they're so far apart, mainly when they're only two dinarim apart, then you could say they can compromise in the middle. But when they're more than two dinarim or more than $2, whatever apart, you could argue maybe that they're so far apart, they're not saying it as a bargaining chip. They're saying, I really won't sell above or below this price, and I really won't buy above this price. So therefore, you have the question, Nidra Havi or Zeruzin Havi? Do you say it's a real neder, or do you say it's another case of Zeruz where he's just trying to use a bargaining chip? Amalei, so Rav Ashi says, Tanena, listen, we have a Braisa that talks about this, talks about a similar concept later in the Masechta. Suppose a person is nudging somebody else to eat by his house. But Amalei, and so Reuben is trying to convince Shimon to come and eat by him. But Amalei, and Shimon says, you know what? Not only I don't want to eat by you, because yeah, he says, koinam beis chashani nichnas, a koinam that I won't even enter your house, kipas tzonen shani toyim, or a koinam that I won't even drink a drop of a cold drink. mutterly konis lebesiv lishtis emen tzonim. He is actually allowed to go into the guy's house and to drink cold water there. Shalom eskaven ze elu l'shum achilu r'shtia, because we assume that when he said that, when Shimon says that I'm not going to even come into your house and I'm not even going to drink a drop, what he really means is I won't eat an actual suda in your house. But that means he only means that. He doesn't mean the actual going in, and he doesn't mean the actual drinking a drop of water. Which, okay, Rashi says that means he wouldn't be allowed to eat a full meal there, Taka. But he would be allowed to go in, and he would be able to have a glass of water. But that's what we say. Because he only meant achilo shtia. Because since the guy is nudging him, come and eat a meal by me, come and eat a meal by me. So even though he used such an exaggerated expression, what he really meant is a full meal. But therefore, he's allowed to go in and have a drink. Now, you could ask why. I mean, he said, I won't even drink a drop of cold water. So you have to say, that's how people talk. When he uses the word, even a drop, he really means the full suda that you're trying to nudge me to eat. Right? Yeah. So the same thing, hello? The same way here, you could argue, even when the person says four plus a prutta, and the other one says two minus a prutta, he means that's just how people talk. You could still argue that it's a bargaining chip. Amalei, so Ravina says that.
Who gives this opinion?
This is Rav Ashi is explaining. There's a braita that we have later in the chapter. So Rav Ashi is using that to prove, just like over there, even though he uses the word tipas tzonen, he's allowed to drink the tipas tzonen, and he's just not allowed to have a full meal. And the point is, the Rosh points out, I mean, there's a huge difference between tipas tzonen and a big meal, much greater than the difference between 401 and 199 for the price of the thing. And if you're saying there that nevertheless tipas tzonen can mean really I won't eat a full meal, but I will drink a cup of water by you, the same way when he's saying I won't sell below 401. Can mean I'm willing to compromise on three. Okay. Amalei, so Ravina says, Mitami, how can you compare the two cases? Gabit Tzonen, you know, when you come to the matter of Tzonen, we know the rule, Tzadikim only ma'at votes and habit. Tzadikim say a little and do a lot, like Avraham Avinu, the reference over here on the side to Bava Metzia, is where it tells over there, Avraham Avinu tells the three malachim, the echapach lechem, I'll bring out a piece of bread, and then he brings them out a whole gigantic suda. Shimon has reason to be concerned. If I say, fine, I'm willing to drink a tipas tzonen by you, then I'm going to come in and then you're going to already serve me, and then you're going to already serve me a whole meal. So therefore, you could argue that yes, when he says tipas tzonen, what he really means a whole meal by it. I am saying tipas tzonen, which is very far away from a whole meal, because he realizes that one can very easily lead to the other one. Rashi explains it a little bit differently, that the point is that because tzaddikim omer ma'at v'osahabe, what can happen is Reuben can be telling him, just come in and have a drop to drink, and then he's going to wind up giving him a whole soda. So therefore he's saying, that one drop that you're talking about, which really I know you very well, you mean a whole soda, I'm not even willing that, but really he means only the soda. Pachas seikahu, but over here, after all, it is a suffix. Dilma pachas misel of a yosel shekel kalmar. You could argue that maybe he means that I'm willing to go less than a seller, and I'm willing to go above a shekel, therefore with zeruzin havi, and therefore even in this case, it's a nidrig zeruzin. Yes, the nidrig zeruzin havi, and therefore it's a neder to be mezarez, it's just a bargaining chip. Or dilma davka kam of a nidrig havi, or maybe again, according to the two possibilities that the Ran mentioned, either the fact that he's going down to the prutta level shows that he's being precise, or the fact that they're so far apart, that they're more than two dinarim apart, shows that he's not just using it as a bargaining chip. He means it sincerely. Therefore, it would be a real neder. And Shulchan Aruch, actually, the Shach points out another possibility. Actually, that maybe you could say it's sort of partially a real neder and partially zeruzin. Like maybe on the distance, let's say between 401 and $4. Maybe would be a genuine neder on that 1 cent, on that one prut or whatever, and the rest of it might be zeruzin, as in the ordinary thing where from four you could go down to three, whatever it is. So that's the question. What is it? And the answer is tiboy. It's left unresolved. Tiboy again is like teiku in the rest of shas, and therefore we're not sure. And because we're not sure, we have to be machmer on it. So therefore, yes, if one of them says that I won't sell it for more than 4.1 and for less than 4.1, and the other one says I won't buy it for more than 1.99, then yes, there can be an issue with either of them with either of them being willing to compromise on some other price.
When they say that, not more than 4.1 and less than whatever it is.
Yeah.
How long?
It's this object is being sold. I mean, if you're selling a different object, and
if they come back tomorrow,
but if it's the same object before that,
same object.
Yeah, that should be the same issue.
And a month later,
as long as it's the same object, I don't see why it would be a difference. I mean, if it's a different customer, then fine. Yeah. Now, the Gemara is going to, since we talked about the basic concept again in our Mishnah is the four negarim that we talked about. The reason why they're all mutter is because with all of them it's echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. What you're thinking does not jive with what you're saying. You're saying a formula of a neder, but you're not thinking it in your heart. And in the case of nidr is arisen because you're using it as a bargaining chip, and with the other three for each one for their own reasons. So that brings us to the whole concept of kavana in nedarim, and which in turn relates to the idea of ataras nedarim. So, as background, we talked about in the previous parak that there's two ways in which a chacham can be matir a neder. When you're basing it on charata, and when you're basing it on pesach. Charata means that the person says, "I regret that I ever made this neder in the first place." The Ran actually makes an important point. It can't mean charata as in now I regret that I made the neder, because obviously any person who comes to master neder obviously regrets the neder now. That doesn't help. It has to be that he regrets that he ever made it in the first place. That's charata. Pesach is, I don't specifically regret making the neder in the first place, but if I realized, charata would be, for example, then the person says I made the neder because I was angry. If I hadn't been angry, as we'll have examples soon in the Gemara, I wouldn't have made the neder. So I'm sorry that I ever got angry like that and made such a neder. A pesach rather would be fine. I made the neder. I accept that, but I didn't realize the full consequences of it. I didn't realize that there's going to be certain consequences of it that I didn't foresee. Okay, so didn't foresee that gets into the issue of noilad, which we'll talk about later in the Gemara. If it's something that no reasonable person could have foreseen, then you can't use that as a pesach anyway. But if it's something that could reasonably have been foreseen, he just didn't think about it, then that's considered a pesach.
So pesach is actually a
loophole,
like you're saying, a loophole?
Not really a loophole. Well, it is sort of a loophole, but you're saying, in other words, for example, if I would have realized that this neder is going to cause such and such consequences, then we'll see examples in the Gemara, then I wouldn't have made it. Now, there's a bit of a machlokas rishonim over here between the Ran and Tosfos and other rishonim. What?
So the consequences must be consequential, or there can be minimal.
There have to be some kind of consequences that make the person say, you know what, I wouldn't have made the neder if I had known of these consequences.
So there has to be consequences.
It has to be at least consequential to him, yeah. Now, one way of looking at it is the Ran says that when you get down to it, that a pesach is better than charata. Because with charata, you're not saying really that you're not really saying that, you know, what are you saying with charata? You're saying that I was angry or I was upset or whatever, and therefore I made a neder, and now I regret it. But it's not really that, you know, the neder, you're taking away the neder, but it's kind of a weak way of taking it away. Whereas a pesach is a stronger thing. If I had thought of this pesach, unlike, you know, I was angry and I made the neder, so okay, you know, you were angry at the time, fine, it happens, the person flies off the handle. But a pesach is, I made the neder in a calm frame of mind, but I didn't realize the full consequences of it. So therefore, pesach is better than charata, the Ran says. Tosfos talks about it differently, actually, that charata might actually be better because you're saying that I wouldn't have made the neder to begin with, as opposed to pesach, you're speaking of like one detail of the neder. So, Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi, Arba nedarim alo letzrichin she'ela l'chacham. These four nedarim of our Mishnah, you need to ask the chacham to be matir neder on them. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, when I told over this vote to Shmuel, Omar, he said, what are you talking about? Tana Tony Abon Nadarim Hitiru Chachamim. The Mishnah says that the Chachamim were matter these four Nadarim. You're telling me you need to be matter neder. Hitiru Chachamim implies that the Chachamim are telling you these are not valid Nadarim in the first place. Why should he need Shayla for them? Rabbi Yosef Masnu Alahoshmaita Baholishna, Rabbi Yosef learned the vote as follows, that Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Abasi, not that these four of our Mishnah need She'ela, because then you have Shmuel's question, what do you mean they need She'ela? But rather, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Abasi, Ein Chocham Rashoy Lahatir Elaka Ein Abon Adarim Halalu. When a Chocham is Master and Neder, he can only be Master if it's similar to these four Nadarim. Meaning not exactly one of these four, but it means, in other words, that if you have Charotah versus Pesach, All of these four Nadarim is not really a matter of Charata. It's not, I made the Neder and now I regret that I ever made it. You made it to begin with, not meaning it as a genuine Neder. That's not really Charata. That's more closely related to Pesach. Yeah. Kosova ain't poskin b'charata, which means that Rav Asi holds, you cannot try to be Matir Neder based on Charata. So that's why he's saying you can only be matter a regular neder, which is not like one of the four of our Mishnah, where the person comes to Beis Din and he says, you know what, I regret ever making this neder. Rav Asi, you're saying you can't use that as a basis for being matter neder. You would have to find some consequence of this neder that actually is causing him difficulty, and then be matter only on that basis. That's how the Ran learns it. There's other ways of learning it. In fact, there's a very big Chiddush, actually. The big Chiddush is because otherwise you would think, and we're going to have opinions as we go along in the Gemara over here, you have opinions that Charata is enough. So Rav Asi is saying that no, Charata is not enough. You need a Pesach. Rashi, actually, there's a Gemara in Eruvin we learned when we were doing Eruvin about 2 years ago that mentioned a story involving Rav Gamliel riding on a donkey and then getting off the donkey to be Matan Neder. Somebody we're actually going to have a brief reference to it in the Gemara tomorrow about the Lashon that Rav Gamliel used as a Pesach for this person to be Matan Neder. Rashi explains over there that when we say over here Ein Poskin B'Charata is actually, he means to be maple. He's saying that you don't even need Charata. You don't even need Charata. The Chacham is actually able to be Oiker, the Neder, is actually able to uproot the Neder even without you explicitly saying, you know what, Ani Mischaret, that I regret that I ever made the Neder. You're coming to be Matir Neder. The Chacham has the ability to say, you know what, then I'm being Matir your Neder. You don't need Charata. Pain post from the Charata, according to this, would mean not that you can't use Charata, but you don't need Charata. Some cases, Ahuda al Kamed Rav Huna. There was a case of somebody who came to Rav Huna to be Matir Neder. Amale, so Rav Huna asked him, Libach Allah, was your mind with you? So the Ram says two explanations what that means. Number one is he could be asking, when you made the Neder, was your mind at ease? Were you in a settled frame of mind? And Furthermore, according to this first explanation, libach halach would also mean all this time, from then until now, have you still been in that same frame of mind that you haven't all this time been having charata on this neder, and just now you come to be matter neder because maybe now all of a sudden you changed your mind and you're having charata, and that wouldn't be good, because not charata meikara. That's one explanation. Libach halach is your mind with you, meaning yes.
I mean, you have to clarify, what does that mean?
So the first explanation is, he's saying, from when you made the neder until now, were you always in a frame of mind where you made the neder then in knowing what you were doing, in full awareness of what you were doing. From then until now, you never had any reason to have charata on it. Now, all of a sudden, you're having charata. In that case, I can't be mapping neder on that basis. Or, second explanation that Ran says is, he's asking, Libach Allah, not what was your frame of mind when you made the neder, but from then until, just the second part, from then until now, have you had any reason to regret this neder? Amalei, loy. So he says no. So what do we mean by no? It could mean that, according to the first explanation, no would mean no. I was unsettled. I was angry or whatever when I made this neder. I wasn't thinking straight. Therefore, I'm having charata that I ever made this neder in the first place. It could also mean that the The Rosh explains that loy means no. I'm not mescharet only as of now. I'm mescharet to begin with. I regret to begin with that I ever made this neder. Vehitiron, and so he was matu neder, and Veshariah, and he was matu neder to him on that basis. On the basis of either that when he made the neder to begin with, he wasn't thinking straight, and therefore now, once he's thinking straight now, he regrets ever having made it in the first place. Or just that he'd made it with a clear mind, but still, right away afterwards, he realized, you know what did I do?
And that's kind of a case that he drank some lashke and made a neder.
It depends how much he drank, I guess. I mean, if he was of course there's a white, then nothing he does counts balach anyway. If he was lesser shikur than that, maybe, I don't know. Another example: Ha'ud also kamei d'rava baravuna. A person came to Rava Baravuna to be matin neder. Amalei, so Rava asked him, ilu hoyu asara bnei adam sheifai sucha ba'ot hashah. If there had been there 10 people who would have been able to calm you down and talk you out of it at that time, mina darta, would you have made the neder? Now, what does that mean? Okay. So the Ran brings two gersoyos over here, neither of which we have in our Gemara. One is that the Gemara says we see from that Rava Bar Avuna holds poskin b'charata, and the other girsa is that he says we see from that he holds ein poskin b'charata. Now, what does that mean? The Ram explains like this: when you're talking about this business of 10 people, you're sort of in between charata and pesach. Remember, according to the Ram, charata is worse than pesach. Charata is you saying I regret ever having made the neder, but after all, it's a really weak thing. Pesach is a stronger thing where you're saying, you know what, I made the neder knowing fully what I'm doing, but I didn't realize that there's certain consequences of it. This kind of thing with the 10 people is sort of halfway in between. The fact is there weren't 10 people there. The fact is there weren't 10 people over there. So therefore, the previous case was just saying, were you in a calm frame of mind or whatever. Well, you were saying something else. One second. Let's look at what the Ram said. This kind of thing with 10 people is not quite as strong as a Pesach, because a real Pesach would be something that you could have known of at the time and you just didn't think of it. Here, the fact is there weren't 10 people over there to talk you out of it. On the other hand, it's better off than Charata, because real Charata is that it's not you saying there's any particular reason I wouldn't have made the neder at the time, just I was angry and therefore I went and made it. Here, if there had been people there to calm him down, then he wouldn't have been angry and he wouldn't have made the neder. So therefore, this kind of thing is sort of halfway in between Charata and Pesach.
It goes more towards the previous situation, asking whether he was in the right frame of mind. These 10 people might have, you know, made him appease him.
But it's a different kind of thing, though, because were you in a calm frame of mind is just referring to how you yourself were. This is what they're telling over here, the hypothetical. The previous one wasn't a hypothetical. This is a hypothetical. There had been 10 people over there. Okay.
That's
not the point how exactly they would have changed. The point is that on the one hand, the fact is there weren't 10 people there. On the other hand, if there had been 10 people over there, he wouldn't have been upset, and there wouldn't be any charata. So the Ran says that's why you have two different girsos over here. If you say that ein poskin b'charata means plain charata itself is not good enough, but something like this with 10 people is good enough because that's stronger than charata. The girsa that says poskin b'charata means it has to be a strong kind of charata, something like this, which is stronger than a regular charata, would be enough. Not a plain charata, just I regret that I ever did it in the first place, but a stronger charata like this. Like, yes, if there had been 10 people there, then they would have talked me out of it and I wouldn't have made the neder.
They would have put him in the right frame of mind.
Because the difference of were you in the right frame of mind or could people have talked you out of it? Not necessarily.
If people can talk you out of it, but not necessarily could they.
The man could have answered. No, even if there were 10 people there, I still would have made the neder. Then in that case, it's not. Yeah.
Obviously.
Okay, but that's what we're talking about. So it's two different cases. I wouldn't have made the neder in that case if there had been the 10 people over there, and the tiroi, and he was mati neder.
So he
There's different things. Each one, each of these Amoraim and Tanoim that we're going to talk about soon has a different opinion what exactly you need to be Matanet.
Maybe they should ask the 10 people
okay.
who know him.
Because
you could say if there was 10 people, well, yes, I would have changed my mind.
Okay, so if you would have, then you would have. But you know what? We've talked about before, this is why it says in Pirkei Avos, Al Tishal Levishat Nidre. When you see a person making a neder, don't ask him, what are you doing? Because then, yes, he might say, yes, you know what, I don't care how many people are asking me, I don't care how many people are trying to talk me out of it, I'm still making this neder. And then he destroyed his Pesach. Okay, so then the point is that, yes, if you have such things, again, we're saying Rabbi Barav Huna holds this, we're not saying everybody holds this.
No,
okay, so then we're talking...
The real way to really muscle a neder would be to ask the 10 people that he knows whether or not in that situation he would have changed his mind.
No, because they can't know for sure. One person can't really know. No, come on. One person can't really know the other person's mind. He himself knows his own mind. Come on. Tanya, we learned in a braisa that we're talking about this machloikis between Rav Huna and Rabba Bar Rav Huna about what you need to be matir neder. Do you need, is charata good enough or do you need something stronger than charata? It's actually machloikis tanoim. And actually, the Rosh points out, usually the Gemara's usual expression for this would be ketanoi, that the following, this machlokes amaroim is just like the following machlokes tanoim. Again, Lashon Nedarim Mishona, Nedarim likes to use unusual expression, so it's a Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omrim Loila Adam Leib Zeh Alacha, you ask this person, is this heart the same? Again, according to the two different explanations, do you have the same frame of mind from then until now, or whatever? And if he says no, Matira Noisa, then you can be Matir Neder. That's one opinion. That's like Rav Huna. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi says in the name of his father, Rabbi Yosi, no, Omrim Lola Adam, he told the person, if there had been there 10 people at that time to talk you out of it, Mina Darta, would you have made the Neder? Imam Allah. And if he says no, Matira Noisa, then you can be Matir Neder. So the same opinions of Amaroyim is the same opinions of Tanoim. Some further cases, Simon Asi Ve'alazu Yochanan V'yana, this is a Simon for cases involving four Amaroyim that we're going to talk about now. Number one, Hahuda Asala Kameh de Rav Asi, a person came to Rav Asi to be Matan Neder, to Rav Asi to be Matan Neder, Amalei Kedutah Hisa. He says to him, are you having, Tahisa means like regretting, Toyal Roshonis, are you regretting that you ever made this Neder? Do you have Harata Meikara? Amalei loy, so he says no, as a veloshin tmiya, like no, like as in of
really
course,
no.
Yeah, really, you're, v'shavi, and he was matir neder on that basis. So you see that Rav Asi is another opinion that says that you can be matir based on charata, which then you have the question then I mean, so we had earlier on the Amud, we quoted Rav Yehuda saying in the name of Rav Asi that you can't use charata. That you need to have a Pesach. So how is Rav Asi saying over here you can use Charata? So the simple answer is that the simple answer is that you have Rav Asi and you have Rabbi Asi. They're two different people. Rav Asi before is an Amora from Bavel. Rabbi Asi is an Amora from Eretz Yisrael. Two different people, so two different opinions. Okay, the loy. Yeah. Okay. The loy. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Second case, Hahu de Asa the Chamei de Rav Elazar, a person came to Rav Elazar to be Matir Neder, Amalei Bois Neder, so Rav Elazar asks him, did you want up until now to have your Neder? And again, you're only having Charata as of now, not all the way back to when you made the Neder. Did you want to make this Neder in the first place? Amalei, so the man tells him, no, people hadn't gotten me upset. I wouldn't have needed nothing. The only reason I made the neder is because I was upset. So I didn't really want to make the neder. I have charata to begin with. Amalei, tehei kabai, Rav Elazar tells him, good, then let it be like you wanted. You didn't really want to make this neder in the first place, so fine, then we can be matir neder.
Regarding
Chavata,
is there anything in the Torah itself that says
it's
neder can be?
Loy yachal dvaroi, hu einim mechal, aval acherim mechal. We learned the pasuk says, hu einim mechal, a person is not allowed to transgress his own neder, sure, but somebody else can be mechal it for him. Somebody else can be matter it for him. That's where we learn the whole concept of hat and adarim. We learned in, we'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow, I guess, but with the other two cases, but we learned in Chagiga this concept, Hesen Adjordim Perchen Ba'avir, that the whole concept of Hesen Adjordim is like flying in the air. There's very little in Teresh Bechsav to bring a proof for it. It's almost completely Teresh Ba'al Peh. Yeah. And in Chassidus, the Teresh Ba'al
Peh.
Well, no, there's more brings over there half a dozen other psukim that are sort of a smachta for it. Hashem nishbati ba'api, for example, that the Eibishter says, I swore in my anger, which implies ba'api nishbati v'chazarti bi, that I swore in my anger, but then later on, the Eibishter says, kavyocha, when I calmed down, then I was master neder. There are a few other proofs that the Gemara brings from psukim over there. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea we talked about previously, that the idea of Nedarim goes beyond even Chochmos Yeretzon Shalachadosh Baruch Hu. That's how it makes it possible for a person to take something which is mutter to him and declare it also to him. So therefore, also Hesed Nedarim, which is the ability of the Chacham to go and undo what that person accomplished over there all the way up in those Olam HaSelyonim, has to be something that can't even really have much of a basis in Teresh B'Chsav, because it's like beyond that.